It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's been an historic week in Pennsylvania. A federal judge has decided that the state's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. And yesterday, Governor Corbett said he won't appeal the decision, meaning that same-sex marriage will remain legal in Pennsylvania without the threat that a higher court will reinstate the ban. But as gay couples excitedly make their marriage plans in the Commonwealth, those who view marriage as specific to a woman and a man have concerns. Bishop David Zubik of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh said in a statement, quote, "We as a culture have been steadily eroding the strength of our family by undermining the sacredness of marriage," end quote. We're devoting our entire program today to a discussion of this landmark ruling. I'm joined now in Studio A by Vic Volchak. He's legal director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania and one of the lead lawyers for the plaintiffs in the case. Vic Volchak, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
And also joining us by phone from Harrisburg is Michael Geer. He is president of the American Family Institute, which disagrees with the court decision. Michael Geer, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. And it's Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Pennsylvania Family Institute. What did I say?
You said American Family Institute.
Oh, I beg your pardon. President of the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Again, we just have this one state to care about.
Okay, very good. Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure.
Vic Volchak, let me start with you. What was your reaction to Governor Corbett's statement that he will not appeal the decision that struck down the state's gay marriage ban?
Yeah, I actually think he was fairly courageous. He's in some ways he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't by agreeing not to appeal, which is obviously what we wanted him to do. He may be cutting off his right flank politically, or at least making them not entirely happy, as we may hear from Mr. Geer. But on the other hand, he is now going to be on the right side of history because there's just no question where this movement is going. There's been 19 decisions, court decisions, since the U.S. Supreme Court decided Windsor last summer, and all 19 of them have gone in favor of freedom to marry. And I think the most important indicator is that if you talk to young people, you talk to anybody, almost anybody under 30, and it's polling like in the high 70s, and you ask them, how do you feel about same-sex couples getting married, and they just give you a blank look like, well, you know, what's the big deal? Who cares what two other people are doing? If they love each other, let them get married. So, I mean, this is something that is going to happen in this country. I think it's going to happen within the next 2 years all across the country. But for it to happen in Pennsylvania this quickly is just beyond our wildest dreams. It's been – I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it, but, you know, the joy that I am seeing, not just from our clients, but from couples. I spent some time in the marriage office yesterday and just talking to some of the couples and, you know, why are you here and what, we're going to get married and how does that make you feel? And just, you know, the joy, the smiles, the tears, it's overwhelming. It's wonderful.
Michael Geer, you are president of the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Explain why you disagree with Judge Jones' decision.
Let me first start by reacting to the comment that Vic just made related to being on the right side of history. I can imagine that ACLU lawyers and others back in 1973 were saying the very same things about being on the right side in history after the Supreme Court issued its Roe versus Wade decision. They basically said everybody needs to get with it. That's settled law. And what we have seen in our country since then is nothing close to settled law. A growing number of people, including especially young people, again, Vic was talking about young people in polling numbers showing more and more young people supporting same-sex marriage. Well, we're seeing more and more people supporting the sanctity of life and understanding that the right to life should be respected in the law. So I reject these notions of the right side of history. I think there are more basic issues to look at when considering whether marriage should remain the union of one man and one woman, and public opinion, whether it's shifting or not, is not the basis on which to determine it. But I would also say, and I said this at the outset when the ACLU filed this lawsuit back last July, in their press conference, they noted, or at least stated, that public opinion was swinging in their direction. And I asked them the question then and would ask it again, if public opinion is going in your direction, why not use the public policy process, people's elected representatives, as was the case in New York or in Maryland, let the people go and vote, or in other states, rather than short-circuiting the process and letting one unelected judge impose his views on all of Pennsylvania. That's problematic and corrosive to the political process, and I think will cause political discord and unrest for many years to come.
Well, your sentiments, Mr. Geer, are echoed by, among others, Rob Gleason, who is chairman of the state Republican Party. He said, as you just have, that the citizens of the Commonwealth deserved to be participants in the ongoing discussion rather than, in his words, quote, to be dictated to by judicial fiat, end quote.
Right.
So, Vic, as you listen to that and to what Mr. Geer just said, what is your reaction? Do these folks have a point that it shouldn't be up to one unelected judge to be making this decision for all of Pennsylvania?
No, they don't. The way our system is set up is that the judiciary is charged with ruling on whether or not the government is violating the Constitution. And there are some things that if you waited for the political process would never happen. I mean, if you look at cases like Brown versus Board of Education, which desegregated the schools, or at least legally desegregated them, I think we have a ways to go in reality. You look at Loving versus Virginia, which was a case which is very similar to what we're doing now, which struck down a law in Virginia that prevented white people from marrying black people. And so it is perfectly appropriate for judges to act in this fashion. And unfortunately, in Pennsylvania, elected officials are behind the curve. They are behind public opinion. You know, the public opinion that we're seeing now is in the high 50s for people supporting the freedom to marry. Unfortunately, if you look up at the makeup of the legislature, if we were waiting for the political process, we would not have this day right now. And you know, people who follow what's going on said it's never going to happen in Pennsylvania. Now, never's a long time, but I can guarantee you it wouldn't be here as soon as it is now.
What about, for example, could a current elected official representing state government have standing to file an appeal here?
No.
Not at all?
Nope. I mean, this has been tried in other places. I mean, it was actually tried in California with Proposition 8. It was most recently tried in Oregon, and on Monday we got a federal judge out there to shoot down an effort by a group to try to represent, I think it was the equivalent of a register of wills out there, whoever issues the marriage licenses, in both the district court and the United States Court of Appeals shot him down and said, you don't belong here.
And Paul, you know, the verbiage that was just used, which is to shoot that down, is indicative of what many Pennsylvanians and Americans feel is being done to their rights, to their ability to engage in the democratic process. When lawyers simply run to court and find friendly judges, those who they typically know are either on their side or whatever, to simply impose their will on the people. And so when people are looking for example, their attorney general in Pennsylvania, who is duty-bound in the job that the attorney general takes, duty-bound to defend state laws and simply throw up their hands and say they won't do it, or in Virginia or in Oregon, where the people have no voice with their elected representatives to even have a say in court, is severely corrosive and problematic for the political process. And, you know, it's interesting because Mr. You know, Vic said that, you know, courts do this all the time, and they're fine with it, and courts should have the right to be able to strike these things down. I don't find that same view from the ACLU coming, for example, in the court case that went to the Supreme Court in the Greece, New York prayer in public settings case. That should be decided, I think, in the political process, but that's a much clearer constitutional discussion.
But what the judge
when
is saying
the
here,
First Amendment and the freedom of religion, et cetera, versus finding some right in the Constitution, which is very difficult to find.
But what is being said here, Mr. Geer, by the judge is that the rights of American citizens are being impinged upon, and that the same-sex marriage ban in itself is unconstitutional.
Right.
So he's making
that
an interpretation that, as all judges do, that that the law as it stands inflicts upon the rights of American citizens, compromises those rights.
Yeah,
well, I understand what Judge Jones said in his decision and the judge in Oregon and these other states, but the Supreme Court did not require it. There's nothing in this, you know, that's obviously a disputable point. I can name a number of cases that I'm sure the ACLU thinks were wrongly decided. We believe that this case was wrongly decided and think that Governor Corbett should have, because he states personally that he supports marriage as being the union of one man and one woman, and whether it's 50% of Pennsylvanians do or 60% or whatever it is, also feel the same way, that it was at least owed to us to have our public, duly elected public officials to take this through the court system all the way up, and the way our system works right now, let the Supreme Court at least have a say in
it. Were you expecting that the governor would appeal the decision?
I was hoping that he would. I don't know expectations. I'm not sure that the defense that was mounted to begin with when looking at the briefs and the oral arguments that were made in this case or made in the Palladino case somehow suggests that the Office of General Counsel, you know, was not fighting, you know, was not aggressively and effectively mounting a defense.
Governor Corbett says he opposes same-sex marriage, but he says an appeal would be, in his words, this is quoting the governor now, extremely unlikely to succeed, end quote. Vic Volchek, as far as the Supreme Court, will they eventually have a say in this, at least as far as some of the other states are concerned?
Yeah, there's little question in my mind that the Supreme Court is going to have to take one or more of the cases that are in the pipeline right now. And I think they're going to do that in the near future. We're now waiting for several appeals courts where there have already been oral arguments. You know, once those decisions start coming down, I think you're going to see the Supreme Court take one or more of them and then decide this issue, maybe even by next June. So in 13 months from now, we could have a decision from the Supreme Court. But I want to come back just very quickly and address something Mr. Geer said earlier. Two points he made is, one is that we go out and find a friendly judge. Well, first of all, it's random selection of the judges. I mean, you go on a wheel. You don't know who you're going to get. The judge we happened to draw was not only put on the bench by George W. Bush, but he was nominated by Senator Rick Santorum. And I just pulled out the letter that he and Senator Specter sent, and it talks about he and Judge Connor are of the highest quality and the types of lawyers that we need sitting on our bench, and we certainly couldn't agree more. The second point I want to address very briefly is that Mr. Geer talked about this depriving people of their right to be able to vote on this decision. I mean, this law that has just been struck down deprives two people who love each other from being able to marry. I can't think of anything that is more intrusive in somebody's individual rights than telling them that if there's some other person in their life that they fall in love with and they want to be able to take advantages of all of the blessings of marriage, and there's both emotional aspects, there's financial aspects, and other aspects, for the government to be able to make that choice is more invasive of liberty than just about anything I can think of. So, you know, to say that we should let people vote on whether two people who love each other can get married is pretty outrageous to me.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. My guests are Vic Volchek, legal director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania, and Michael Geer, president of the Pennsylvania Family Institute. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email address is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Follow the conversation at #EPLive. Just a couple of quick points I would like to clarify. Vic Volchek, could a current Hang on one second, Michael. Do you anticipate that any of the opponents of same-sex marriage might file petitions with the court, would have legal standing so that they can appeal this decision?
Yeah, I can't say whether anybody's going to try. We are confident that nobody else has standing to try to push this appeal. And if somebody tries, we will vigorously oppose that. This matter should now be fully closed. Whether somebody is going to go out there and try, and we think it's going to be a futile effort, we're going to oppose that.
Michael Geer, so what is left for the Pennsylvania Family Institute to do at this point?
Well, before I answer that, I'd like to address, you know, Mr. Walchek's statement related to government intrusion, et cetera. the whole purpose of marriage and government's recognition of marriage. Marriage has always existed throughout human history as male and female. It's only in the last few milliseconds of history that it's been something different. Government has recognized this pre-existing institution of marriage for the purpose of consideration of the children that likely result from a relationship between a man and a woman. Government has never been interested in whether two people love each other or even are committed to each other without the consideration that children will likely result from that relationship. And so we're talking about government intrusion, number one, in saying, do you love each other, and getting into that sort of relationship, looking at that. But number two, the whole notion of, you know, who is speaking for the child who, through same-sex marriage, then will be permanently and purposefully denied the opportunity to ever know or be part of the and be raised by either their mother or their father. No man, however loving, can be a mother to a child. No woman, however loving a parent she may be, can ever be a father to a child. And while many parents do heroic jobs in single-parent situations, etc., for government to set forth a policy that ignores the vital and distinct roles that male and female, mother and father, play in the lives of children is intrusive and troubling, and that's why we are standing for the children in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
You know, just if I could respond to that, Paul, I mean, first of all, I mean, the suggestion that, you know, marriage is for procreation, I mean, there is no requirement that when people are getting married that they're going to commit to procreating, and, you know, that would be a real problem for folks who are infertile or for folks who are maybe beyond the childbearing age. So, you know, promoting procreation is idiotic.
It's not idiotic.
I'd appreciate that, because you made the other point. I mean, essentially what you're saying is that gay parents can't be as good as other parents, as straight parents. And frankly, first of all, the state of Pennsylvania allows gay couples and has for almost two decades, allows them to adopt, allows them to be foster parents. And second, the social science is just overwhelming that what is most important in a family is that you have loving and supportive parents, not that they be of a different gender, but that they be there for the child in an appropriate way. And, you know, why would you want to deny children of gay couples? And whether you allow marriage or not, you're going to have gay couples with children. Why would you deny them all of the benefits that come from marriage and that accrue to a family? It makes no sense if you're really concerned about the kids.
Vic, you predicted that one of the cases, conceivably in the case filed by Deb and Susan Whitewood, that would bring the beginning of the end of the national debate on the definition of marriage.
Wait, I predicted that?
You predicted that it would bring the beginning of the end of the national debate on the definition of marriage.
When did I predict that?
You were quoted as having said that in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Okay. And when was that? Was that recently or?
This week.
Yeah. I think what I was doing was paraphrasing Judge Jones, who said that just like, you know, we had the phrase separate but equal, and you know, nobody talks about separate but equal when you're talking about racial discrimination. And he said, in the same way that we now talk about gay marriage, years from now, we're just going to talk about marriage. And I think that's true. And I think it comes back to just looking at the demographics, you know, especially once the Supreme Court rules on this issue, and we are cautiously optimistic that Justice Kennedy is going to come down on the right side and is going to support the freedom to marry, that years from now this is not going to be an issue. You're just going to look and see whether people are married, and you're not even going to think in the mind whether that's a gay marriage or a straight marriage. It's just going to be marriage, and that's a good thing.
Let's take some phone calls before we wrap up this segment. Let's go to Gary in Baldwin. Gary, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just needed to clear my head about what Mr. Gear was talking about in his argument. With all due respect to him, I have to say that he has brought absolutely nothing new to the table argument-wise in defending this marriage ban. I and my husband were married in New York City last year, and the only thing that this ban has caused is for us to have to set up our life as far as health insurance, as far as retirement, in such a crazy Byzantine-style way because we were not allowed to share spousal benefits through our places of employment. And over the past 2 days, all of those worries have just completely subsided, thank goodness. I can't even tell you or describe to you the amount of emotional and mental anguish that having to deal with this ban in this state has caused on both of us. And his level of arguments are basically the very same things that, not to make fun of anyone, but have been uttered from the mouths of the religious right for many decades now.
Let Mr. Geer respond. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, Gary, but we are getting short on time, and I certainly appreciate your point. Mr. Geer, what about Gary's point that on behalf of a lot of other gay couples, that there are all of these legal considerations involved that this ruling now clears up?
Well, number one, what we have seen in places like New Jersey, which legalized civil unions, which had the same effect as changing all the laws related to marriage, but did not give the title marriage to it, was not sufficient. There was a desire, apparently, to say, I am exactly the same. Two men or two women is exactly the same as a male and a female, a mother and a father. There are many people in this Commonwealth and across the country who do not see that equivalence that says, as I have stated, a male and a female, a mother and a father are vitally or significantly different, different in the way they raise children, different in the well-being of children. Barack Obama himself has talked about one of the serious and most crucial problems in America today is fatherlessness, because children need the input and involvement of their father in their lives. And for the government or judges to impose a policy that is going to permanently say that a segment of our society is not going to have fathers, their biological fathers or adoptive fathers, is not a good thing, not a helpful thing. And
let's go. Thank you. That's a good point.
So arrangements can be made for people's personal circumstances. It doesn't need to redefine the age-old institution of marriage that has served society and served the well-being of children so well.
Let's go to Jessica in Sewickley for one last quick comment. Jessica, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you. So I am actually a product of an interracial marriage. My parents were married back in 1967, and the same arguments that your guest is making regarding the product of children in a gay relationship were made back during the Loving case. And, you know, I'm a very happy, well-adjusted person. My husband's actually Chinese. And I just think that the sort of ignorance that is basically being projected by your caller, by your guest, is the same thing that my parents had to go through.
Well, there's a vital difference. You know, the ban on interracial marriage was not historic in America until recent, you know, later in sort of a racist Jim Crow era in this country. It was rightfully struck down because what the ban on interracial marriage was about keeping the races apart, about unanimity, about keeping the races apart. That was wrong. That was evil. Should have been struck down. What marriage between a man and a woman is about diversity. It's about bringing the sexes together, the complementary different sexes together. There are two different things. It's not the same argument at all, even though people like to make that analogy.
Let me put this question to you, Mr. Geer, and that is that you're saying that one of your concerns about gay marriage is you are personally concerned about potential harm that you believe could come to children. But aren't children sometimes harmed in relationships where you have a mother and father, a man and a woman,
sure, yeah,
as parents?
No question about it. There are same-sex couples that are doing a better job today raising their kids than some heterosexual couples. The question is, what is the ideal? What should kids have? I mean, Rosie O'Donnell was on asked by Diane Sawyer once if her, you know, she and her lesbian partner had a son, I think, through in vitro fertilization. His name, I think, was Parker, and was asked, you know, when he was about 6 years old, she was asked by Diane Sawyer, is there anything your son asks for at Christmas or other times? And he said, yes, sometimes he asked me, why can't I have a dad? We want to be a voice, at least for those kids. We also want to be a voice for tolerance and for diversity, to at least allow for divergence of opinion on this issue, so that people who have religious or conscientious objections to participating in same-sex weddings or serving in those sorts of celebrations of these things have the freedom and ability to be able to do so. And I hope the ACLU will fight for that tolerance going forward.
Vic Volchek, I'll let you have the final word.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't disagree more with Mr. Geer that what we're really talking about is a beautiful new day in Pennsylvania where couples who love each other, who may want to form families or have families with children and provide loving and supportive relationships, can now get all of the benefits and blessings that the state provides because that individual is married. Those individuals are married. This is only going to be a good thing for children. It's only going to be a good thing for not just gay people but for straight people, because this decision says that just because you're gay, you have the same rights as anybody else. You're no different. So all I can say is let the wedding bells ring across the Commonwealth.
Vic Volchek is legal director of the ACLU and Michael Geer, president of the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Thank you both for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Coming up, a conversation with Deborah Whitewood, one of the plaintiffs in the case to strike down Pennsylvania's ban on gay marriage, and Bruce Krause, an openly gay member of the Pittsburgh City Council. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On Tuesday, a federal judge decided that the state's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. And yesterday, Governor Corbett said he won't appeal the decision, meaning that same-sex marriage will remain legal in Pennsylvania without the threat that a higher court will reinstate the ban. The ruling comes in a case filed in July by Deborah and Susan Whitewood of South Fayette, with plaintiffs including their daughters. I'm joined now in Studio A by Deborah Whitewood. Deb, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
And also joining us a little bit later to discuss what this decision means to the LGBTQ community in the Pittsburgh area will be Pittsburgh City Councilor Bruce Krause. And we'll start with Deb Whitewood. First of all, what was your reaction to the judge's ruling in your case?
We were absolutely ecstatic that the judge had ruled for us in this case. It was a historic moment in our family.
Describe how this case came together.
Briefly, the ACLU put out a survey and asked for just gay and lesbian families across the state of Pennsylvania to indicate their interest in possibly being a part of the lawsuit. We responded to that survey and all of a sudden got a phone call from the ACLU. They came out to our house. We met with Vic, and they asked us if we'd be plaintiffs. And so we agreed and met the other wonderful couples, and they just proceeded with a lawsuit. And I think we were talking about it out there a year ago today. A year ago this May, we were sitting in our backyard, and here we are a year later, and we're married.
And describe just going through this whole year and what the process has been like.
It's actually been fairly painless for the plaintiffs, in my opinion, other than gathering a lot of paperwork and having conference calls on a pretty regular basis with the legal team. It's had its emotional highs and lows, but I think that we've certainly have risen, had a very exciting last couple of days, and that has topped off. That was the cherry on the top.
So the rulings come down in your favor, and what happens next for your family now?
What happens next is I need to go home and spread mulch and chase after my 3-year-old. For us, really not a lot changes. We were legally married in the state of Maryland last October for our 20th anniversary. So the state now just immediately recognizes our marriage. And so nothing really changes for our family except for we just continue on with our lives, and knowing now that the state will 100% recognize the survivor benefits, the tax benefits. And if I go to the hospital now, I don't think I will be as concerned about carrying my power of attorney paperwork with me. I think I'll just be able to say that Susan's my spouse and be allowed to be seen with her.
So that would have been one issue of concern prior to Tuesday for you, because your marriage up until the judge's decision was not recognized in Pennsylvania. Legal
Correct.
In Maryland, not legal here. So were there other things? I'm sure there are many other things that this now clears up for you.
Yeah, prior to Tuesday, I did. We carry the power of attorney paperwork actually in every car, and Susan keeps it in the backpack just in case there's ever an emergency. Every time we go on vacation, we carry our power of attorney paperwork with us. So that'll be, I think, a little bit of a relief to not have to – for that to be the first thought that happens if one of us goes into the hospital. The tax lawyers and stuff like that have already been in communication with us about, you know, what changes we might have to make to certain things. But I think that a lot of we had created a lot of protections. We had created a lot of protections around ourselves to give us a patchwork that gave us some of the protections that marriage gives, but certainly not all of them. And now there's over 1,000 benefits that we will automatically get. And that's a great relief, not just for us. We didn't do this just for the Whitewoods. Honestly, we did this for every gay and lesbian family, every gay and lesbian teenager out there, so that they would have this for themselves in the future.
Bruce Krause, Pittsburgh City Councilman, and someone who's been a guest on this program in the past, we've acknowledged the fact that you are openly gay. And so what does this ruling mean for the gay community in Pittsburgh?
Well, Paul, thanks for having me again. And this is a really hard act to follow. You're truly one of the most bravest people that I've ever met.
You're speaking to Deb, of course.
I am speaking to
Thank
Deb.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Paul.
Thank you, Bruce.
I am speaking to Deb. It goes far beyond the argument being an emotional argument, which is a very easy argument to have. It goes into the legalities of the contract of marriage and the benefit of the contract of marriage. And I am not surprised by the ruling and how it came down and what the ruling was based on. We've talked about this in the past too. I'm 60 years old. I have lived through, you know, the civil rights movement and the Equal Rights Amendment and gay liberation and women's liberation, all those kinds of things, and they very much shaped me who I am as a human being, as a person today. But what this ruling does is it reaffirms Brown versus the Board of Education, that societies cannot exist with separate laws for people, and that we struck down separate but equal decades ago. And that's what's, in my opinion, at the heart and soul of the ruling that it came down, that all mankind is truly created equally and are entitled to equal benefit under the law. So what I see this as being, and Deb touched upon this a little bit, is the benefit of the contract of marriage, whether that is through taxation, whether that's through estate planning, right of survivorship, health care, and all of those things. We were being denied, legally being denied, under the state of Pennsylvania, and that has now all been abolished, that truly all mankind truly are equal citizens and recognized as such here in the state of Pennsylvania.
It's been a long fight from your perspective, hasn't it?
Well, I remember Stonewall. I was in 10th grade in 1969, and while I don't remember it personally, I was aware that it had happened and that something was different, and that something had changed in the world, and that even I didn't know then who I was entirely, that we were not going to stand idly by and be discriminated against. So, you know, I came out in the 70s, and it was a whole different time then, and as were the 80s. You know, AIDS changed everything in the 80s. I would not have believed as a 20-year-old man at 1973 that I would be sitting here in my lifetime talking about the revolution, if you will, that took place just 2 days ago in the legal understanding and recognition by this state that we are equal citizens in all ways.
And Deb, your two daughters were plaintiffs in this case.
That's correct, Abby and Katie.
Talk about their interest in being participants in this and being involved with you in your fight along with your partner.
Honestly, Abby and Katie are one of the main reasons that we chose to do this lawsuit, because when it first came to our attention, we talked with them about it. They're teenagers. They have their definite opinions, and they express them freely and regularly. And so we talked with them about it, and they both were – looking at this and saying this is a way for them to be a part of making change in the state of Pennsylvania, but also in the world, also in the United States, for all of the – I think they put a face on children who are being raised by gay and lesbian families. And they wanted to be a part of this change. They wanted to have their family validated. They wanted for people to know that their family was just like their friends and their neighbors that were being raised by heterosexual parents.
And as young people, until they got older, they didn't really understand all the legal ramifications. From what I understand, they just assumed, well, you know, Susan and Deborah, our parents are married, and we're just a family like any other.
Yes, they've always considered our family to be just like everybody else. And honestly, most of the people in our neighborhood and our church and our family and friends and everybody has always considered us married. They were all my kids were kind of shocked, and some of our friends were kind of shocked when I explained to them that no, we're not legally married. Like, we're married. We had our holy union 20 years ago in front of God and our family and friends, and we consider ourselves married, but the legal system does not recognize that whatsoever.
Bruce Krauss, there is there's a number of different implications for you in the decision that was made. Certainly it is, as you just explained, a time for celebration and reflection. But at the same time, you have constituents, people you represent, who are very unhappy. And a lot of it was summed up in Bishop Zubik's ruling. Bishop David Zubik of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh said in a statement, quote, "We as a culture have been steadily eroding the strength of our family by undermining the sacredness of marriage," end quote. Whether you agree or disagree with what the bishop is saying, or anybody who expresses concerns about this ruling, about same-sex marriage, what do you say to these people who oppose this ruling? How do you, as an elected official, handle their concerns and counsel them?
I have not received a single phone call in my office either in favor of or opposed to this decision. I think that's about how small of a blip on the screen this really has been to the public at large. I think we have known that it has been coming for years now. And being the 19th state in the union to recognize, it's not as big a story as what it might have been 2 and 3 and 4 and even 10 years ago. What I have seen, though, and all the council offices keep social media pages and Facebook pages, but I have seen nothing but an outpouring of support and happiness and satisfaction at this ruling, amazement at this ruling and what it means. In terms of I forgot the second part of your question.
Well,
in terms of
– what would you say to
even though
that you haven't received a phone call, the bishop is one example of the people who are out there who have concerns.
Actually, I know Bishop Zubik well, and I would consider Bishop Zubik a friend. And we have had this conversation any number of times. In fact, he and I even did opposing op-ed pieces about 5 or 6 years ago when I first met him. And he is entitled to his opinion, and I'm going to respect the fact that he is entitled to his opinion. But we are not talking about a religious ceremony here. We are talking about contract of law as recognized by the state. I was listening to another talk show yesterday, and there's a really valid point that was made, and I wanted to call in to affirm that I agreed with it, that when one goes to dissolve the contract of marriage, one does not go to the church or to the spiritual advisor or to the religious sector to dissolve the contract. They go to the state to dissolve the contract. And so while everyone is entitled to their opinion around freedom of religion and to choose to believe and worship how they choose to believe and worship, what this decision is talking about is the separation of church and state, the power of the state, and the contract of marriage, and the benefits and responsibilities as recognized by the state through the contract of marriage.
We are talking about the decision that came down earlier this week, a federal judge deciding that the state's ban on same-sex marriage is constitutional, the ruling coming in a case filed in July by Deb and Susan Whitewood of South Fayette. Deb Whitewood is here with us in Studio A, along with the gentleman you just heard, Pittsburgh City Councilman Bruce Krause. We will take your questions and invite you to join the conversation with us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. We need to take one more break. We'll do that now. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about the decision that was handed down this week by a federal judge deciding that the state's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. I am joined by one of the plaintiffs in the case that struck down that ban, Deb Whitewood of South Fayette. And she and her partner, Susan Whitewood, are now legally married in Pennsylvania, though they were married before in the state of Maryland. Also with us in Studio A is Bruce Krause, Pittsburgh City Councilor, who is openly gay, and he is with us in Studio A as well. If you have comments or questions or would like to join the conversation with them, 412-246-2002 is the number to call, 412-246-2002. The email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter, at esspgh, follow the conversation at #EPLive. Let's go to Nick in the Strip District. Nick, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to congratulate everyone on their marriage. But I do have a question, a major concern, and I guess I disagree with Councilman Krause. Divorce in certain churches, whether you're religious, Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, or Catholic, you need a church divorce. Now, I'm definitely in favor of civil union and equal rights for everyone. My question is, you're all, you know, fairly level-headed, let's say. But in more extreme cases, I'm worried about the agenda coming in and forcing the churches to perform marriages, which, you know, in certain faiths, it's completely forbidden.
I don't know that this ruling does that. No. Deb, you, no. Go ahead. Either Deb or Bruce.
I don't believe that this ruling forces a church to perform a same-sex marriage at all. I think that this marriage is a civil issue.
Yeah, nor do I.
Nick, thank you for your call. Let's go to Jeffrey in New Alexandria. Jeffrey, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Same thing with me. I agree with the gentleman that just called. I have several friends in the gay situation, you know, that I believe in their situation of love and their rights to have the same things that married couples have. My only question is here is, why do we have to continually call it marriage or use that term of marriage? Why can't we just simply call it a civil union? Because that's what it is.
Well, let me, if I may.
Or sacrament of marriage as a Catholic, which I am, is very, very important, and it's just between a man and a woman. And,
go ahead, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, Bruce. I think I might have an answer for you, if I may. That I believe that in terms of the state, and this issue deals with the state's recognition of the contract, the legal contract of marriage, and it is not referencing any religious or spiritual entity. I've always believed that regardless of a male with a male, a female with a female, or a female with a male, that the state oversees that contract. If you choose then to take your union, as you like to call it, which I like to call it too, to be honest with you, to your God as you understand your God to be, that's your right to do so. But this ruling strictly deals with a contract with the state of marriage.
Thank you for the call, Jeffrey. Let's go to Jim in Oakland. Jim, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
I love the show. Now, yeah, it's time to move on. It's 2014 now. It's time for complete freedom as far as this law should have gone into effect a long time ago. I know I have a friend who two men who were married. I know them real well, and they're gay. They've been married for 50 years now, and I know a lot of heterosexual marriages that have broken up in 2 years. So I don't know. You know, I think everyone should be we should have complete freedom. This is long overdue. Yep. We're in 2014.
Thank you, Jim. That's a great comment and I would throw that to either Bruce or Deb. But just the idea that I guess, Bruce, from your perspective, you've watched the struggle over the decades. Mm-hmm. So while it is the 21st century, you're not taking it for granted that.
No, I think the importance of this decision is the recognition under law by the state that all mankind is indeed created equal and deserving of to be treated equally under the law. That's, I believe, is the important part of this decision, in that we have lived, gay men, lesbian women, transgendered or bisexual people, as second-class citizens, and under the auspice of legal discrimination. And that's truly what has been abolished for me by this ruling.
And I think that we should add that this has been abolished in the state of Pennsylvania, and it's been abolished in certain other states. But there is still a large majority of our country that gay and lesbian people don't have this right. And so this fight needs to continue beyond Pennsylvania. It needs to continue into the other 50 states.
I just disagree with one thing that you said. They do have the right. It's that the state refuses to recognize it.
I agree.
Right. And we should remind our listeners that the judge in this case made his ruling based on the fact that and according to his decision, the gay marriage ban or same-sex marriage ban in Pennsylvania was unconstitutional. There is the issue, though, in this state. Pittsburgh and Allegheny County have come up with an ordinance that protects the LGBTQ community from being discriminated against based on sexual orientation. In other words, it's illegal if you are gay to be denied housing. It is illegal to be fired from your job based on your sexual orientation. However, the state of Pennsylvania, unlike other states, does not have a statute. There is no statewide statute in Pennsylvania that protects people from being discriminated against based on sexual orientation. So same-sex couples can now get married legally in Pennsylvania, but if you are open about your sexuality, you can be denied an apartment, not necessarily in Pittsburgh, but in another part of Pennsylvania, or a house, or a job.
I brought that up to Vic while we were sitting in the waiting room there and asked what his thoughts and opinions were and where does that fight go from here. And he agrees that it's a fight that still needs to continue, although I think this ruling makes it infinitely easier now to pass things like House Bill 300. House Bill 300 is going to make that fight a little bit easier, but it astonishes me that in 2014, people can legally, by the state, be denied housing, employment, and a public accommodation based on sexual orientation.
But is it somewhat ironic, Deb, for someone like yourself, if you moved, let's say you moved into an apartment in a part of Pennsylvania where there isn't this protective statute, you could move in on your own and probably nobody would have any question about it. But if you came in with your family, you could be denied housing based on the thing that is now legal, based on your marriage.
Correct. And actually, I had an email from a friend who wants to get married in her county in Pennsylvania, but is afraid to lose her housing and her job if she does. And so that, you know, she said, I really want to get married because of all the protections, but I could lose my job. And so, that's a very difficult decision for someone to make.
So what has to happen in your view? It's the legislature needs to take it up?
The legislature needs to continue with the bill and get discrimination taken out of our Constitution.
Right. Yeah, and I think the comfort level of many legislators will be raised by this decision to actually make that kind of a move towards passing it.
Well, it has been an enlightening conversation. I want to thank both of you for being here. Deb Whitewood, who was part of the lawsuit, one of the plaintiffs in the suit that struck down the state's gay marriage, same-sex marriage ban, or gay marriage, whichever term you prefer. And also Bruce Krause, Pittsburgh City Councilman. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.fm or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.